Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. I'm your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good friend and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Stone. How are things going in your world?
I'm doing really well. I made it back from the Mountain House last night, took in a few calories over the weekend, got in some great family time, and have been very excited about this segment. This is something that I look forward to, as I know you do every month. This is our Sandy Springs Chamber special, and today's segment we're going to focus on economic development. Have you had much economic development lately?
I shoot for economic development every week.
So let's welcome back to the microphone our good friend Christine Heller. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
So what's been happening at the Chamber? Get us caught up a little bit.
July is normally our slow month at the Chamber because it's the time for many people to go on vacation, but you wouldn't know that given our schedule lately. We've been having all sorts of fun. Most exciting lately is the fact that we had Governor Deal come to speak at an event last week held at First Data, and we had a wonderful turnout from the local business community, the local Sandy Springs consulates. We had the mayors from Sandy Springs, Dunwoody, and Brookhaven, and a whole bunch of other folks. It was a great, great event.
Now, doesn't First Data have the new Innovation Center?
Yes, we were able to showcase the beautiful space that they opened this past year, their Learning and Innovation Center. And it was the first time they had a luncheon event there. It's normally used for training and so forth. But I think based on this experience, I think they'll be inviting folks back.
I didn't realize that we had local consulates here. Do we need to consult them to go inside the perimeter, or is this for other countries?
Well, we have a nice representation. India, Spain.
All over the place.
Turkey. Yeah, we have a number of consulates right here in Central Perimeter District.
No, it's a topic very dear to my heart because my wife is traveling to Sao Paulo, Brazil, somewhere in Brazil. And, I mean, we were very last minute scrambling to get the visas and all that stuff. And the consulates, just they can be incredibly helpful. So that's fantastic. So we're going to talk about economic development. So maybe a good way to get that started is to bring Andrea Hall into the conversation. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Maybe you should just tell us what economic development is. That's probably as good a place to start as any, right? Because Lee doesn't understand it at all.
Thanks.
Well, Lee, the way to understand it best is really economic development is the creation of new jobs and new investment for most communities around the country. You can look at that on a national level, but here in Sandy Springs, it's all about new jobs, new investment right here in the Perimeter District.
Now, when you say new jobs and new investment, are you trying to help existing companies create new jobs, or are you trying to bring in new companies into the area?
Well, both. Obviously, the stuff that the media gets most excited about are the new jobs that come to town. But quite frankly, in economic development, the most important jobs are the ones that are already here. You want to keep those folks happy. They talk to other companies and tell them how happy they are. They can be your best sales force in bringing in new jobs.
So what's the sales pitch?
The sales pitch is Sandy Springs is very centrally located. Here in the Atlanta area, we've got great access, transportation network, 400, 285, three MARTA stations. You can get your workforce from their house to your business, one of the best places in Atlanta to do so.
Are you seeing that the kind of the center of Atlanta is migrating north?
I would definitely see that. I'm actually an Atlanta native, and I've seen over the past 25 years or so, it's been moving this way for quite some time. The momentum is definitely here. And again, with the perimeter access, that's where folks want to be because they can get to their workers who are located all over Atlanta, but on the north side especially, you can get to your workers in Cobb County. Your workers from North Fulton can get here. Your workers from Gwinnett can get here, as well as your workers that are in downtown and midtown. It's really very centrally located.
So do we have many Fortune 500 companies here?
We have several Fortune 500 companies. Specifically within Sandy Springs, there's First Data. There's Newell Rubbermaid, UPS. We also have a lot of companies that are privately held companies that are large companies here, Spectrum Brands. Graphics Packaging has just recently relocated to Sandy Springs. the Intercontinental Exchange, which I think you've heard maybe making a big acquisition.
Sure.
They are located here in Sandy Springs. So we have some companies that don't necessarily make that Fortune 500 list, but are very important to us as well.
Now, how do you serve something like ICE?
Well, for instance, ICE may, with their acquisition, have some expansion plans in the future. We want to make sure that whatever their business needs are, that we can meet those here in Sandy Springs, whether it be office space, whether it be services from the city, the state, some of our other economic development partners, to encourage their investment in this community. And, you know, not just the larger companies. The smaller companies can benefit as well. I think the Sandy Springs government has a real reputation for, you know, being very responsive to needs. I can think of an example recently with some companies over in the Powers Ferry area that and ICE being located there as well, had some specific traffic requests. City's now looking at addressing those. It's nice to actually work for a jurisdiction that has that type of response. Makes a big difference in what companies see and experience on an everyday basis.
Now, how do you guys leverage the fact that Sandy Springs has privatized so many services?
Makes a big difference. Actually, I'm the economic development director for the city, but I actually am not an employee of the city.
Really?
I'm a contractor, yes. Huh. The city, when it first came into being in 2005, had a single contract for services under one company. They've since broken those out into separate contracts. I work for a contractor that's actually located in Boston, Massachusetts. But it makes a big difference internally. You have contractors that are motivated to keep a contract, keep their client happy, and so they are very willing to make changes.
More responsive?
Much more responsive. I can tell you I've worked for other jurisdictions, and they were fairly responsive, but the responsiveness here is very big.
And we were talking about international consulates earlier and a little bit in jest, but they really do have a role to play in all this, don't they? Speak to that a little bit, if you would.
They do, very much so. I believe we have six here in 7, 10. Yeah. We actually have a couple consulates and actually several trade offices as well. I think in the ones, in addition to Christine mentioned, also Nigeria, the Czech Republic. That makes it very attractive when talking to international firms or even domestic firms that want more of an international presence, to be able to say that you have that presence here and that they're happy to be here. In addition, our mayor and the current council have fostered a relationship with a sister city in China over the past several years, and several of our community members have been there and represented, as well as they have visited here to get to know what types of businesses we have here as well.
That sounds like a curtain call for Jim Comerford. What do you think? I think we ought to get him in this conversation. Jim, welcome to the show, man.
Good morning.
Well, we are delighted to have you as well. So how do you play into all this? Where do you fit into this effort?
One of the hallmarks of Sandy Springs is the public-private partnership philosophy that underlines the whole operation of city government. And the city council, about 2 years ago at Mayor Galambos's initiative, set up an economic development advisory committee, which is a group of businessmen that are nominated by city council and serve in a broad advisory role in developing the city's economic development strategy. And obviously, we're not employees of the city. We're not even independent contractors, but we're paying our civic rent. I serve as chairman of that committee, and notably, and we've touched on this a bit with Andrea, the New York Times, The Economist have all provided great spotlight to the public-private philosophy of the city and how we operate, and have been very laudatory, and I think that's part of Sandy Springs that really helps us grow and retain the tremendous business community that we have here.
Now, how has the economic downturn impacted any of the growth and economic development? Have you guys survived it, do you think, better than other communities because of this public-private partnership?
We're very lucky in Sandy Springs in that, I mean, Andrea and I have been fortunate as we've really been in the first generation creating the business culture for the city government. The city itself is only 7 years old, but we really did start on third base. We've got six Fortune 500 headquarters located here. We have 11 consulate generals from around the world. And we really do punch way above our weight for a city of just under 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Like all business communities the last several years in this economy, we've seen restraint in economic growth and in economic vitality. But during those years, Sandy Springs has actually added Fortune 500 headquarters. We've added consulates as another measurement. The city government is exceedingly well run. It is without any debt. It has a surplus that can be reinvested into the community. We've had significant infrastructure investment, for example, some of the work along the Georgia 400 corridor. So while it's been challenging, as it has been for everyone else, this city really continues to be a very dynamic business community.
Now, how do you serve the needs of Fortune 500 companies as well as the kind of mom and pop restaurants and small operations that, you know, there's more, obviously there's a lot more of them than Fortune 500 companies?
Well, in some ways, the small businesses have the same needs and wants as a Fortune 500, as well as the Fortune 500s drive a lot of growth. I mean, if you've got big companies locating here, quite frankly, that is a lot of opportunity for the small businesses, the mm-hmm. restaurants, the retail.
Sure.
If our offices are full, our restaurant
people
retailers
are, exactly.
Are making their way around town to eat at our various restaurants. But the other thing is sort of back to what Jim said in terms of how you operate some of the services from a government perspective. You want to be able to, again, respond to their needs as soon as possible, make it fast to get their business done, and quite frankly, get out of the way. You know, and some of that initiative that the city has seen recently in their permitting department, they've tried to make it a lot faster. You know, we used to say 2 weeks a turnaround for a permit, and quite frankly, that's fairly fast in the metro area. But recently, last year, they actually implemented a new Permits Go program, and now 75% of the permits are done over-the-counter, i.e. you come in,
wow.
somebody signs
you
off.
You leave with a permit?
You leave with a permit.
Wow.
And the other ones are for more complicated projects, but generally we say a three-day turnaround. So, mm-hmm. again, we want to operate efficiently and get in and out of the way from the small business perspective.
Now, when Sandy Springs is doing something of that kind, like literally giving out a permit, you know, the way as you come in, how does that impact the other governments? Like, is this something where they're resentful of Sandy Springs?
They're throwing bricks through windows.
Are they?
They got to be envious, right?
But are they saying, "Look, we got to up our game"? Is it? I mean, part of the I think the strength of Sandy Springs is that it is private. So then you, like you were saying earlier, there's an incentive for you to be responsive because you want to get the contract next time. And other, obviously, governments here in the area aren't private. So they have a different way of doing business and a different level of responsiveness. Are they? Is this upping everyone's game, or are they just saying, oh, you guys, you started on third base, so you guys have it easy?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely upping the game. Now, they're also, Sandy Springs is considered sort of the leader in this, i.e. there have been other cities in the North Fulton area specifically that have created or been created since Sandy Springs'
right.
creation, and a lot of them are following a similar type model. But even those that don't have a public-private partnership model are definitely having to up the game. I don't want to throw too many of our neighboring jurisdictions under the bus, but you know, for instance, the city of Atlanta for a number of years.
Competition makes everybody better.
That's right.
That's right.
The
yeah.
city of Atlanta had a reputation for being very difficult in their permitting process. I won't say that I think they have all of their bumps worked out, but there has been in the
an improvement.
In the development community, the reputation has improved. So, yes, everyone has to step up their game in order to compete.
Now, Jim, you have a day job as well with Proscenium Capital. Did
yes.
I say that right?
Yes.
So are you just a nice, civic-minded guy, or is there also a compelling business reason? Is it good business to be involved in this kind of effort as well?
It's always good business to pay your civic rent. And this is such a tremendous community to the extent that you can contribute. I've lived in Sandy Springs since I was a teenager. So this is my home.
Yeah.
And Camille and I have three children that have grown up here. So to the extent that this community is prosperous and stable and growing and, you know, you look at the quality of life here from anything from the recreational aspects of the river, you know, you can see the river from our house. We utilize it and, you know, I mean, there's every day there's a member of my family walking on the river. You know, you look at the quality of the business community. We have six Fortune 500 headquarters here, as we've already said. By way of contrast, state of Alabama next door doesn't have any. State of Georgia has 14. Half of them are here. Half of the consulate generals. Again, we use this as a measure, but for the outward-looking aspects of this city, but also the diversity of talent and the diversity within the business community here. We have 11 of the 24 consulate generals in Metro Atlanta here in Sandy Springs. Coming back to an earlier point that Andrea made, if you take a map and try to put the center of business in Metro Atlanta, you really are going to land somewhere in Sandy Springs. And when you add the aspects of the metro region as a whole, from our great university systems with Tech and Georgia State and Emory and Kennesaw and others, the airport, the world's busiest, it's a tremendous place to be, and I'm glad to have a chance to contribute.
Now, I know there's an initiative to create an actual downtown area. Can you speak about why that's an important initiative? Because that's going to be an expensive undertaking, and a lot of the revenue or funds that the city does have is slotted to be spent in that area. And why is that important for economic development to have a downtown with an actual building, an actual, you know, like why is that important in a world that's kind of a private-public partnership?
Well, as much as we like to talk about all the great aspects that Sandy Springs has, one of the areas that we feel in the future will be important to continue to enhance is that sense of community, that quality of life aspect. Because, again, if you talk to employers, not just the big folks, but the smaller ones as well, one of the more important aspects in recruiting and retaining their own employees, quite frankly, is a quality of life issue. And, you know, where can my employees go have lunch? Where can my employees live and not have to commute so far or sit in the car quite as often? And so the City Center Initiative is something that the city has taken on. They had a master planning process in 2012. The council approved that plan. It calls for about 1,500 new units of housing in the Roswell Road corridor just north of 285.
So what, like, kind of draw the perimeter? It's Roswell Road on one side.
Yeah, Roswell Road is really more the center of it.
Okay.
And if you know on Roswell Road where the old Target site is,
sure.
The city actually owns that piece of property now, is in the process of acquiring some additional parcels in that area, and that will be sort of the first phase of that project. And to Jim's point earlier, you know, the city has no debt currently. They're in a good position. They've spent the first several years of their existence catching up on a lot of capital improvement projects that they felt were necessary. Now they have the ability to be able to take some of their reserve to put aside for this project, and they have committed to over $100 million over the next couple of years for infrastructure, transportation improvements, parking structures, which will be important in that area, shared parking structures, so that you don't have to use quite as much of your land area for surface parking. A way to really encourage more of a walkable community than perhaps other parts of Roswell Road have. Right now, that's a very popular area in terms of retail and other uses in that area. The city doesn't plan on replacing those uses. It's really more of an enhancement with a different type of product that's not available elsewhere in Sandy Springs.
But is it to create a government building where government contract employees work at it?
There is a plan to have a new government civic facility there, which will house some administrative offices as well as potentially a community or performing arts facility.
Mm-hmm.
But the plan is more of a public-private model. Again, later this year, we're hoping that there will be an RFQ from the city for the property it owns to invite a private developer in to partner with the city to put housing, retail, and office in that area.
So to create kind of a live-work-play like an Atlantic Station or that thing in Brookhaven?
Exactly. A smaller scale than Atlantic Station, but definitely. And there's a lot of the private developers already in the area that own property who have been involved in this process, and they are very much on board with the investments they're going to make on their own properties to enhance what else is going on in the area. I think in 20 years you will look back on this space and see something that everyone can be very, very proud of. And again, my background is in the private sector space as well, and so when I first came on board here, I looked at it from sort of a cynical eye, which was, is there really demand for this type of thing down here? Let me see the demand analysis on this. But I was very impressed to see the work that was done, has community input, makes sense from a market perspective as well. So I think it's something people are going to be very excited about, and hopefully we'll start to see some movement on it in the short term.
Well, Lee's trying to be very professional, but what's got him concerned is the farmer's market, I can tell you.
The farmer's market has a home in the new city space. There's going to actually be the farmer's market was one of those considerations taken into the plan, want a nice home for it, because it's definitely already an amenity, something we definitely want to continue to improve upon on that.
Now, what about from, like you had mentioned, Jim, earlier about the different colleges that are around? Is that an area where Sandy Springs has room to grow and add some sort of higher education component to Sandy Springs?
Very much so. And it's one of the economic development goals of the city. One of the aspects of the city's economy that we have not really touched upon yet is the importance of the healthcare community.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a real... I think there's a real niche for the city in developing healthcare specialties here and healthcare education. If you gauge it, and you can tell I'm kind of a metrics guy, if you gauge it by the number of hospital beds and healthcare professionals concentrated in a particular area, the healthcare concentration in Sandy Springs is the largest between Washington, D.C. and Houston, Texas. That's a tremendous asset for this city. And it provides the gateway for us to really develop areas of expertise in terms of undergraduate and graduate education that feed into a very important part of both the city's economy but also the region's economy. And I think, you know, if we handle this well the next 10 years, you'll see a very heartening development of assets there.
Now, we talk with Tino Mantella at TAG quite a bit, and one of his buzzwords that he likes to talk about are clusters. Mm-hmm. Since that Sandy Springs does have this cluster of hospitals all in one big pile, are we seeing that kind of ancillary businesses, and especially like from a healthcare IT? Mm-hmm. I know there's ancillary medically businesses there. But is there any technology and healthcare IT businesses or even research? I don't know. Are any of those hospitals research hospitals? Are we tapping into any of that at all?
I think we're definitely tapping into the health IT industry here in the central perimeter market, again, because of the hospitals here, as well as the type of workforce that you can get in this general area. The statistic, I think, is something like 57% of our workforce are college graduates. I mean, that's unheard of throughout the country to have that type. And then, again, to Jim's point, you know, some of the initiatives of the state really in promoting healthcare, IT, and if you look at a map generally of this area, the North Fulton area and the Central Perimeter Market, they are definitely already centered here. So there is already really a synergy and other companies from across the country continue to notice that and be able to locate some of their market here.
Christine, you and your team over at the Sandy Springs Chamber, you got to be thrilled to death to see all this stuff coming together. You must be on cloud nine with this.
Oh, we certainly are. We are working with a team of people across, to Andrea's point, across the healthcare arena, and we have a collaborative setup, and we're looking at healthcare IT, we're looking at research opportunities, working to bring more opportunities for internships and so forth to the perimeter area as a result.
So, Andrea, I got to ask, how did you get into this line of work? I mean, you didn't know at 11 that you were going to be doing economic development probably, right?
No, I thought I would be first woman president of the United States.
Are you still on that path?
No. I've decided that's a job for someone else. I don't really know how I stumbled into it. I guess I've always sort of been interested in the subject and local business, and I'm a graduate of Georgia Tech from their planning school. So planning school is in that arena, and I got out of school and did some things in the private sector. Actually worked on the other side of the table negotiating incentive deals for companies.
Wow.
So now I work on the other side, and I know exactly what's going through their heads. So it's a great line of work to be in because it is very exciting to, you know, sort of be close to some of the big decisions being made, but even better, to be able to, again, hopefully help a company. That's my whole job, is to make sure that whatever the company needs, I certainly don't control everything, but to know who to talk to and to get the right answer for them is the most important thing. So I do. This is my niche in life. This is what I'm supposed to do. So
now, how do you woo a company from another part of the country or the world to come here? Like, how do you even know they're in the market? Do they reach out to you?
Generally speaking, it's changed a lot in the 20 years I've been in the business. When I started out, we did a lot more actual – companies didn't know about places. There wasn't information right on the internet. It was, you know, a different game. Now it's definitely – they've done a lot of their homework before they ever reach out to us. You know,
they've already narrowed it down to a handful.
They've narrowed it down
cities
to a handful. And, you know, quite frankly, at that point, the name of the game is to be the last person standing. Don't be eliminated. That's the point of the process. So, again, just to showcase what we have here in Sandy Springs, what the state has to offer. We work very closely with our state partners and our other chamber partners throughout the metro area to make sure that, you know, again, it's all about the business and what they need. And quite frankly, sometimes jurisdictions don't have, you know, what they're looking for. We don't have a whole lot of manufacturing sites here in Sandy Springs,
right?
Okay? So it's important to, again, I think it's very important to get to know your current businesses very well, understand their businesses, because those are the ones that if there's a change in leadership there, there's a change in financial situation, good or bad, those are the ones that are going to be making some decisions about their business locations. And so you need to already have a relationship with those folks so that they know who to call, and that you're the first person they call, not necessarily 6 months after you find out they're looking to move. So that's why we try to spend a lot of time in my business and with the city calling on our existing companies and getting to know them.
Now, if you were to look at the landscape of Sandy Springs, how would you describe what are our clusters? What are the things that we do a really good job with?
Again, back to the healthcare IT and actually technology companies in general. Some of that related to workforce issues, younger workforces, AirWatch, you know, I know you guys have talked about them before. Their workforce is younger. Looking to, you know, be able to access public transportation to get to and from work, that's very important. We have three MARTA stations in Sandy Springs, as well as, you know, various bus routes for people to be able to access. Again, that sense of place we talked about, a community. Young workforces are looking for that. But again, the middle of the market, people like me who have families, they're looking for access to good schools, other good transportation networks. So, again, that's something that Sandy Springs has to offer just about across the spectrum.
Now, are you seeing any initiatives in order to help startups? Do you guys do any work with startups here, or are you focused more on more mature companies?
Well, right now I think we've been focused a little bit more on mature companies. Again, the city is fairly new, so we've had to
pick and choose.
Right. But we do understand the importance of the startup companies and work a little more with our partners, again, at TAG and at the state, working those types of initiatives. But for right now, the focus has been primarily on getting to know some of our existing companies and building organic growth that way.
Now, do you have any partnerships with, like, Atlanta Tech Village? They're in Buckhead. They're not that far from Sandy Springs, and they have that exciting new venture going over there.
They do, and we would like to have some type of initiative like that here in Sandy Springs, and that's one of our goals. The economic development plan that was just adopted 2 years ago that calls for more of a focus on entrepreneurial efforts.
And an incubator-type
Yeah, we'll do it at Jim's office.
You guys have an extra office. Like, how would you work with an Atlanta Tech Village? I mean, you guys have toured it. I mean, is that you guys just have that kind of relationship where you know it exists kind of thing?
I think you speak to a broader point. And one of the things that Andrea had touched on, one of the hallmarks of this city not only is public-private, but is also a regional approach to economic development. Mm-hmm. The city has strategically developed partnerships very strongly, not only with the Georgia Department of Economic Development, but also works very well with the Sandy Springs Chamber, PCID. Per the earlier question on competition making everybody better, I mean, the city works closely with Dunwoody next door, with Roswell, and the other cities in North Fulton, because as you approach this regionally, everything positive in North Fulton, North DeKalb, East Cobb benefits Sandy Springs. And everything positive that happens here benefits the communities around us. So we've taken a very deliberate, cooperative attitude in both our strategy and in our operations. And as a result of that, have begun, I think, to quick start many of the types of initiatives that you're touching upon in this question. And Andrea, I mean, would you like to add anything to that?
Oh, I would just say look at it from a different perspective, and that's the negative perspective. Again, most of your economic growth occurs from the companies that are already here. But let's look at a second for those companies that are not here and are looking at the Atlanta area. Frankly, even though Sandy Springs is now the second largest jurisdiction in the state, they may not know the name Sandy Springs. They just know Metro Atlanta.
Right.
And the things they read about Metro Atlanta in the newspaper, maybe some things not necessarily going on in Sandy Springs jurisdiction, maybe, you know, things with the Atlanta Public Schools or things going on in DeKalb County schools. That affects all of us, whether or not we have any control over it or not. So we definitely need to work with our partners to get the positive messages across. And then, you know, the other thing is when you're working with different jurisdictions, again, back to the company's perspective, economic development is about the company. It's not about government doing something that, you know, makes a wonderful thing for a business. It's about the company themselves and what does the company need. And frankly, most companies come to Atlanta, they don't have a clue what side of the line they're on in terms of, am I in Sandy Springs? Am I in Dunwoody?
Right.
Am I in Roswell? So it is important that we all work together. And then, you know, frankly, when they get a little farther down the line, they'll learn about how great Sandy Springs is. But it's very important that we work with our regional partners in marketing Atlanta and how great it is to do, you know, work here in the state of Georgia. Very important.
This whole business of economic development is a great deal more sophisticated than I was led to believe. My uncle Tommy Ray McDonald was mayor of Chipley, and I think his key and perhaps only strategy was to take potential companies out for a dove hunt. And, you know, and maybe that's what the way it worked back in those days.
There is still a little bit of that around, but it has changed. Yes, it's changed quite a bit. Again, it's much more about what's good for the business. Although I will say I have, in my experience, seen some companies that when you get down to it and there's two locations left, sometimes it's all about where the CEO wants to live.
Makes sense.
Say, and actually working in another jurisdiction, we did lose some companies to Sandy Springs, specifically for that reason, that the CEO liked living in Sandy Springs and wanted to be close to his office. So,
Christine, speak a little bit more in how you're working together with all these different entities. I mean, you obviously have very passionate, competent people that are homegrown and invested in doing all this, but still there has to be a little bit of a feeling of herding hummingbirds. So what's that like, and what's next? Where are you going to put your energy in the coming months with respect to this effort, you think?
Well, like you said, herding hummingbirds, that's an interesting one. I've seen herding cats before. Trying to keep everyone happy is a challenge, but it's a fun one. The chamber is really all about networking, bringing people together, introducing people to one another, putting situations together and events together such that people can come together and share information and find ways to help each other. And that's what we're all about. So we're open. We are, you know, coming off of a successful series of events, looking towards more with the healthcare collaborative in the fall, and we're looking at doing some more with workforce development. Those are two of our key initiatives right now, and they span the big guys, the little guys, public schools, private schools, the three big hospitals, as well as a lot of the support, IT, public relations, if you will. There's a whole lot of stuff going on right now.
If I could comment on that, workforce development is a very important initiative of the chambers. Other jurisdictions have made a real effort and made some real progress, again, back to what the companies need. The companies are having difficulty recruiting different types of employees, and this is a way to get everyone together in the room, talk about some initiatives to make sure that we can help all of our companies. They all benefit by talking together. I think that's been a great initiative of the chambers.
I just love doing this segment. Every time we have a Sandy Springs Chamber segment, I just feel invigorated. I feel like there's a lot of really great stuff going on.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to the next one. And thank you both, Jim and Andrea, for coming and visiting with us. You'll have to come back.
No problem. We'd love to do it anytime.
Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor. Our guests this morning, Andrea Hall, Jim Comerford, and Christine Heller. Our producer, Kevin Finn, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.